Rails Coach Podcast, episode 12. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Rails Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week we're going to talk about test-driven design and behavior-driven design, or test-driven development is also what it's called, and behavior-driven development. But before we get started, I want to remind everybody that you can, if you haven't had a chance yet, go take the survey. It's available at railscoach.com/survey, and this will give us some feedback and help us create a better podcast for you. You can also leave feedback by calling 801-753-8279 or by emailing me at podcast@railscoach.com. Sorry, I don't check the chuck@railscoach.com email address. Anyway, to get started this week, I'm going to be talking about, like I said, test-driven development. Test-driven development is something that I actually picked up from somebody that I had the opportunity to work with when I was working at SolutionStream. I was working for one of their clients, and it's their client that puts out MP3 Rocket, if you're familiar with that product. If not, go check it out. I didn't actually work on that project. I was working on a website for them that they really actually haven't put out yet. So, you know, there's nothing to check out that I've worked on for them quite yet. But anyway, when I was working there, I worked with a developer who had previously worked for Zions Bank in Salt Lake City, or First Security Bank. I don't remember. It was one of those. And, he was really, really big on software quality. And he really got me going with a lot of different things. But one of the practices that he insisted upon that we practice was test-driven development. And the reason was because he felt like the only way that he could guarantee that the software worked properly was by writing the test first and then making sure that the code passed the test. And so the test kind of acted as a specification, which was really, actually really cool. And it was a good experience to kind of pick up on that practice. And it turns out that it's a practice that's fairly common among the Ruby and Rails communities and the developers that take part in that. So first off, let me explain what test-driven development is. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into what behavior-driven development is and what the difference between the two are. And then what I'll do is I'll talk about what I like about the different approaches and why maybe you should pick up one or the other as possible, you know, solutions to help guarantee your software quality. Test-driven development, basically, the basic premise is that you write your test first. And so it's also called test-first design. But anyway, you write your test first, and then you go back and you write your code to make your test pass. And then what the final step is, you go back to your code and you refactor it to make it better, make it more readable, make it more efficient, you know, whatever makes it better. And then, you know, you continuously run your tests to make sure that they pass. And so the mantra for test-driven development is red, green, refactor. Red meaning you write a test and it fails. You write your code so that it passes. And then you go back and you refactor your code so that it doesn't suck. Behavior-driven development is a little bit different. Behavior-driven development focuses more on an outside-in approach is usually the way that they talk about it. And the idea is that you design your product from the top down. So now that I've used all these cliches to describe it, let me explain. Basically, in fact, you can find really good examples of this by going to the site for Cucumber, which is a testing framework that's written in Ruby. And basically the idea is you have three things. You have some kind of stakeholder. So, you know, for example, you can say an admin is as your stakeholder, needs blah because blah. In fact, let me just pull it up and then I can read some of the examples here. I think it's cuke.info or cukes.info. I don't remember. Okay, so cukes.info. Here we go. So here you go. It says, in order to avoid silly mistakes, Oh man, I need to. I can't read it. Here we go. As a math idiot, I want to be told the sum of two numbers. So there's just a simple description for an addition feature. You may have other features, you know, like Well, let's just say that you have some kind of permission-based site and you want people to pay in order to be able to use your service. So as a stakeholder in the business, in order to make money, I need to require or I want to require people to pay. And so then, so you kind of have a feature there, or in order to collect money as a shareholder, I want to be able to charge people's credit cards. There you go. That's a better feature. It's much more specific. So your feature is the ability to charge credit cards. But now you understand from the standpoint of, you know, the people who care, you know, what it does for them. So in this case, the business needs to make money, so you're charging credit cards. And so then what you do is you write your test so that then you say, you know, given I'm on the website and I have a credit card, when I enter this number for the credit card number and this number for the security code and press select, then, you know, then I should see this result back and my credit card should have been deducted by $25. And so, you know, so then you kind of have this scenario where somebody puts in a credit card. And you can have other scenarios related to that feature where, you know, if I put in an invalid credit card number, invalid security code, or, you know, all of these different scenarios. And you can run through all of the, then you can run your tests. And basically, it tests it from the outside in. And it's more of a white box testing approach where your TDD is often a black box or a white box, and BDD is usually a black box or integration test where it tests everything from the outside and expects results, you know, from where, you know, to appear again from the outside. So it's very behavior driven. That's why they call it behavior-driven development. And it's kind of hard to explain exactly what it is without actually, you know, giving you examples and running through it. And Cucumber really is kind of the poster child for this. There's another test suite written in Ruby called RSpec, and it does some of this, but it's not as explicit. And it doesn't drive as much toward the features. You can also write your unit tests in RSpec, and so you can write white box tests in with RSpec, and as well as black box tests, where Cucumber is much more oriented toward black box testing. So what do I like about the two approaches? Well, I'll start with test-driven development. Test-driven development is something that I really like for a variety of reasons, and there are really five major reasons why I like them. The first one is that when you write your test-driven development, or when you write your tests before your code, it helps you define the code. A lot of this is really similar to the approach that you're going to get from behavior-driven development. Because, you know, you're going to define an input and output and things like that. But with TDD, you can also test state and things like that, you know, that you can't test it with white box testing. And, you know, some of the BDD tools do have mechanisms for testing that, because effectively it's just code. So you can test whatever you want, but they're much more driven to the behavior, and the behavior isn't necessarily the state so much as I put this in and I get this back. So, you know, but you can test state if you need to. But it really helps you define your code, so you know, you can test what all of the different variable values are. You know, you can set things up and say, okay, well, you know, when I do this, then when I run this method, then the database should have one more record. The latest record should have these attributes. and I should have gotten this response back when I put this data in. And, you know, you really kind of can round out what exactly you expect. And if you cannot easily define your code with a short series of tests through TDD, in other words, if you can't conceptualize the steps that it needs to take, then you probably need to break it down and write tests for each step. And that's something that I found extremely useful, and it's something that Pratik actually talked about a little bit in his when I interviewed him, is you know, breaking up the code so that it's easier to read. And really, for me, making code understandable a lot of times has to do with the ability to conceptualize. So if I can break the code up into smaller chunks that have a specific job, and then I can just string them together to do the entire job, then that makes it easier for me to, you know, to both test and write or read when I came back to it later on. Because, you know, if you've ever written code and then come back to it a year or two later, you really kind of understand, okay, I don't remember what exactly I was thinking here. And so if you just have it in little chunks that are easy to bite off and chew up, then you can really, really get to the meat of what's going on. Another thing that TDD really does is it helps you figure out what the important pieces are. And so we've talked about breaking up into bite-sized chunks, but the other thing is you can look at it and you can say, okay, well, you know, actually, you know, the critical parts are only these parts, so I'm only going to test these parts. So then if you find yourself deviating and writing a whole bunch of other code that isn't really core to what you're doing, TDD can help you kind of identify that and go, okay, well, if I don't need to test it, I don't need to write it. I talked about making it easy to break your application apart, and that's very true. So, you know, you can test, you know, it helps you define what your code is supposed to do, and it also helps you break things apart. It also adds a lot of value when you have to go back and refactor things. So if your test is already written when you write the code, and then you look at your code and you go, oh, that's ugly, you know, and you start detecting some of the code smells that are out there, you know, where you have a long method, or you have a deeply nested method, or you find that you have just this immense case switch statement or case statement, you know, that's extremely long and hard to manage, you know, it can help you kind of refactor that, because, you know, you go in, you've already got your test written, so you just refactor the thing and your test still passes, so you're done. Or if you refactor it and you find one of your tests isn't passing, then you'll realize, oh, I missed something important. And the last thing that TDD I found, and this is something that tests do in general, but for me, is it gives you an example of how the code should work. And this is different from defining what the code should do. For me, it's actually an example. Okay, if I'm defining this, then I expect things to work this way, is one thing. But, you know, if I have to code against this, I want to be able to call it this way. And so I have an example of what I'm working toward, and that's something that is extremely valuable coming through. With BDD, some of the value that I found there is that it allows you to, you effectively write a specification for your code. And in the case of Cucumber, you're writing your specification, and it actually is code. But you know, it specifies the behavior, but it also specifies the stakeholders. And so in a lot of cases, it not only tells you what you're doing and why you're doing it, but it also tells you who to go talk to if you have any questions about it. And that's something that I found specifically dealing with a problem that I've been dealing with at work lately. There is basically it's dealing with the geometric shapes on a map that define areas. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it's something that has caused a lot of frustration for people at the company that I work for, dealing with these things, because they have to hassle with uploading a bunch of files and it, you know, they don't always get what they want back, and what they do get back is sometimes hard to manage in a sane way. And so what's nice is if you define this going through BDD, and we're not actually doing this at work, but I'd kind of like to head that way. And I know that one of the architects at work is interested in that as well. But it would be nice to put in there, okay, so as a person who helps, you know, these police agencies set up their geographic regions, you know, I would like, you know, I want this or that. And it turns out that it really works out well, because then I can go and I know who to talk to, or if somebody else needs to talk, needs some direction on something, then they'll know who to go talk to. And so it really works out well that way as well. That's really about all I have on these practices. I'm really going to be trying to focus more on specific practices that we can go into, as opposed to something that's more general, like you should test your code, which is what I did last week. And so I'll probably be going into agile methodologies. I might talk about different testing techniques or, you know, coding techniques. I might start looking at different design patterns and discussing those. And those are just some ideas of what I've had, because I want to get more specific. I don't want to be kind of the general, well, you ought to be writing tests, and you ought to write good code, and you know, maybe you ought to write shorter methods, or, you know, you ought to define your classes in this way or that way. If I'm doing that, I really want to be specific about, you know, how it's done and what difference it can make in your code. So if you have any suggestions about things that I can cover in this podcast, I'd really like to hear from you. And again, you can do that by either emailing me at podcast@railscoach.com or by calling 801-753-8279 and just leaving me a quick voice message, and I'll play it back on the show and probably answer your question in the podcast. And that's all I have. Thanks.